This is AgriPulse Drive Time for Thursday, July 18th, brought to you by Farm Bureau News. Good afternoon, I'm Jeff Nally. Severe weather has been more commonplace here during the spring of 2026. Eric Snodgrass, Chief Atmospheric Scientist with Nutrient Ag Solutions, says weather data confirms it.
We're at about 140% of normal. So when you look at it, these stats are just, I mean, these storms have been so capable of producing strong straight line winds, and using some of the data from the Storm Prediction Center, wind reports, we are at 8,475. The 15-year average for today is 5,467. So 8,400 versus 5,400. There's an extra 3,000 reports in that.
Snodgrass says, unfortunately, the weather pattern suggests the worst may not be over.
With all the moisture that's sitting in the ground and sitting in this vegetation, and yes, we've poured a lot of moisture into the parts of this crop, we're going to be able to recycle that. And when I say recycle it, it means the stuff's going to evaporate, go to lower atmosphere. It's going to serve as both the moisture and as the energy for any future storms. Remember, as you get closer to the month of July, we have to start watching out for our storms to more linear in nature, which means they bring stronger straight line winds. And that will probably be the dominant storm mode going into July and August.
While El Nino is developing, Snodgrass says the summer weather pattern looks more typical for the bulk of the growing season.
It seems to be pointing toward, as we get into the month of July, somewhere between Louisiana and West Texas, a ridge setting up. Now, if we have a ridge setting up down there, we're going to activate the southwest monsoon in New Mexico and Arizona and throughout the four corner states. Storms are going to run over that ridge into parts of Nebraska, South Dakota, Iowa, Illinois, and then right into the eastern Corn Belt, which is a very common pattern for our middle summer.
Temperatures have generally been a little cooler than normal, which means crops are behind on heat units and growing degree days.
Well, if you planted, very late April and early May, we just didn't accumulate the units very early into May. They came on in late May and caught things back up, but we have some pockets throughout the Midwest Corn Belt that are running 40 to 50 GDDs behind for that early May planting. But it's nothing that is alarming just yet. We're not running ourselves into a 2009 or a 2014 slow accumulation of heat units. We're not there yet.
Snodgrass says the active weather pattern and soil moisture availability will bring greater chance of crop disease this year. Reports of weakening financial positions of Brazilian farmers has caught the attention of market watchers. Arlen Sitterman with StoneX says Brazil is a big country and those challenges may not be in the highest producing areas.
They said the bulk of what is being written about and impacting analysis is in far south in Rio Grande do Sul, kind of surrounding areas. The farms there are much smaller, and so therefore they have less flexibility and less buffer to handle hard times, and they've been having a series of hard times lately. And so it is hitting them there. But those who financially fail, others pick up their land and plant it. And they said in the end, they still expect production to be there. Maybe we don't increase quite as much this year as coming growing season as what we've increased area in previous years, but they right now are still expecting it to increase in the land to get planted.
Weather is an obvious key to crop production and ultimately crop prices this year, but Suderman says Brazilian production and Chinese crop demand may also play a key to price discovery.
I think the bigger question right now is demand. If China would show that it's going to come in and buy quite a bit of corn and soybeans, then that could be bullish. If it's just a little bit here and there, then that doesn't give us that bullish input. But I think China has the chance here to be that unknown factor if it chooses to be so. But that's a political decision for them, not an economic decision.
Recent data from the University of Illinois suggests Brazil increases corn and soy production on average 6.5% each year. Today's Drive Time is brought to you by Farm Bureau News. Subscribe to Farm Bureau News to get the farm stories that matter most in your inbox twice each month. Go to fb.org/FBN subscribers to sign up. Well, that's all for today's AgriPulse Drive Time. For more agriculture, trade, food, environment, and regulatory news, visit AgriPulse.com. For AgriPulse, I'm Chop Nellie.